K-E-8-R-U-H-W-8-R-C-Y. You awake, Anthony? W-8-R-C-Y, standing by. Your ears must have been burning because I just called out to you like about a minute and a half ago. Good morning. W-8-R-C-Y here with your morning traffic report. Hello, Anthony. I heard you. Did you hear me? W-8-R-C-Y, standing by. K-E-8-R-U-H-W-8-R-C-Y. K-E-8-R-U-H-W-8-R-C-Y. Anthony, you there? W-8-R-C-Y, clear. K-E-8-R-U-H-W-8-R-C-Y. Anthony, you there? W-8-R-C-Y is clear the channel. Good morning, Dakota. W-8-R-C-Y. Am I getting out this morning? It seems like my radio is acting up or my note is acting up. So do you copy me?
Good morning, Donald, and yes, I copy you loud and clear. You sound fine. Other than the static I have on my receipt here, you sound like you did.
Okay, thank you. At least I know it's nothing on my end. I did reboot my node, though, this morning. I heard Anthony out there, and I was going to try to give him a traffic report, but, he, teed up. And I teed up, within 5 seconds or so, and he never responded, so either his volume is down or he had phone calls, and I was just wondering, because I tried two radios, rebooted my node, I wasn't getting out to anybody, so I heard you, and I know you'll give me an honest answer, so, and I know I'll get a bill for it, but that's okay. Other than that, though, I was outside at 5:15 this morning, and man, it was unbelievably nice, and I got back upstairs to my apartment to take a sweatshirt off, because my apartment, though I don't run the heat, it's like a sweat box up here.
I would assume if you got a phone call, that was my entire drive home yesterday. I was trying to play a little bit of radio after work, and my phone just kept ringing and ringing and ringing. I was talking to Tom, and I had to dip out on him twice without even telling him. So I would wager that's probably what happened to Anthony, especially that close to work hours. And, yeah, I'm wearing a light waffle hoodie, and I think it's perfect out. I say it's perfect. It's 29 degrees in Melody heat wave compared to what we've had.
Well, Sean's been up to my place a couple times, and even in late spring or early fall when the weather starts to either begin to warm up or cool down for the winter, he's like, man, is it hot up here? You got your furnace on? I said, no, it's the heat. And I have an open sky balcony, meaning on the 8th floor. Yes, there's a 9th floor, but the 9th floor does not have a balcony. So I'm open sky, and I face south, southwest to west. So I catch that afternoon sun all year round, and it hits that glass. If I open up the blinds just a little bit, you can stand there, and you can feel the heat coming off that glass. And with all the heat that rises from the floors below me, believe me, I'm in a T-shirt and basketball shorts and barefoot all year round.
I do the same thing in my house, no matter what, even if it's not warm. Something's up with my furnace it's not my furnace, but long story short, I built a homebridge server that gets the Google devices, which are garbage, to communicate with my Apple devices and my GE devices, and my thermostat's Google. And ever since I did this, the furnace will randomly not turn on. It will say it's heating to 68 degrees, but the house is 62, and the furnace won't fire, so I reset it. The other day, it was 60 degrees in my house, and the kids were complaining, my wife was complaining, I was going shorts and t-shirt, I didn't care. But yeah, I remember my freshman year of college, I lived on the third floor of a dormitory, and that room was always a
coffee burp there. Sorry, you didn't want to hear that. But yeah, you're a little bacon fry in there, but you're still readable. So you must be in one of your trouble zones there. But that's one thing nice about living here is I do save a lot of money on my heating bills. But however, when it gets to be 30 below, I have to actually turn the heat on a little bit because I have a draft in my bedroom window that they're going to repair in the spring, and I've got some tape over it, which helps. But in the 12 years I've lived here, I've said it many times before, I don't live in the Taj Mahal, but for what I have and what I pay and the heating bills being as low as they are, the heat's free, but, you know, it's the electrical and stuff like that to run the blowers and everything. I save a lot of money for sure. W-A-R-C-Y.
I am driving to town. I'm hoping to meet up with Sean here soon, and that'll all be coming soon.
Yeah, I copy that. But, and like I say, with the arrangement that I have here, hopefully in the spring, and we'll be able to get in town that points towards Detroit, or works that side, because I still have 20 feet of wall to clear before I can send the signal to the north. And even an 8-watt handle, I got coffee in me and it's Starbucks and I still can't talk. Got an 8-watt handheld that'll hit Mount Clemens okay, but not as strong as I'd like for it to be. But from where I'm sitting right now in my living room, of course I'm on my node with 1 watt. I got pretty good range up here and, being 85 feet up in the air. So, yep, hopefully this spring I'll get that set up and going. The only difficulty I'm going to have is trying to get the cable coax to feed through the door wall somehow because with the HOA and everything like that. First of all, I'm not even supposed to put anything out there. But I've got some ideas on cocktail napkin and my Sharpie sketches going, and laundry list of stuff, but it's coming together for me on my end to make me a little bit stronger and a little bit more powerful. Back to you, unless there's anybody else out there.
That ain't BBS. I think if you got yourself a small Yagi and hit it somehow, that would be all kinds of good. And I saw something the other day. It was these flat ribbon coax cables for passing through door thresholds and stuff. Allegedly, they work good. I don't know. I don't think they're that expensive. It might be worth a shot to try. But it's just like this ribbon cable with, I think that one had BNCs, but I'm sure they have PL259s and SO239s.
Yeah, I've seen those as well. I even had one in my parents' house when I first got into CB back in the early to mid-70s. My parents weren't going to let me drill a hole through the window frame or anything like that, so I used that ribbon cable. But, they are available. You can get just about any kind of connector you want on them. So that might be the route I have to go. Whether I want it in the joint or somewhere between the two door walls as they slide, and how much length I have. Because my radio sits like 2 feet from the edge of the window frame, and then, of course, 2.5-3 feet to the center post, but it's a full, whatever the size of a full door wall is, to the other side it opens. It's actually on the opposite side of where my radio gear sits, so it has to go that length, 5 feet out to the edge of the balcony, and then maybe 4 or 5 feet up in the air to the mounting of the post. So maybe about 15 feet of cable, 15, 18 feet of cable is what I would need to make it work. And with that gap thing there to cover that, I should be good. And to hide it, you really can't see much from the street level below. And I could tug a Yagi or something, even a... I'm looking at a mobile mount on a ground plane, which we use in racing. Yeah, there I go with another racing reference. But that's what they use in racing is they don't put up some big 4-foot poles. Some teams do, but... just a small mobile antenna with a dB gain on it, or a beam with a nice dB gain, because I can see downtown Detroit plain as day of where I'm at right now. It's all lit up like a Christmas tree, of course. But point a beam right down Detroit's throat, and I can hit all the repeaters down there. And, of course, with the linking, I should have no problem getting out.
Well, there's plenty of ways to skin the cat. I've tried a couple of them, and I think I've landed on what works best for me, and I know there's going to be... It's kind of fun having to figure stuff out like that, especially in your situation where you got to kind of be discreet, but not super, super discreet, and you really just need to get a little bit more functionality out of what you have. So I think there's plenty of options. Your hardest part is just getting the cable outside.
Well, my XPR 5550E mobile / base station on a power supply has an 8-inch ribbon cable, not ribbon, blade antenna that we use, of course, in racing. And it's just, it's like 8 inches long and about 3/4 inch wide, and it's stuck to my inside of my door glass with double-sided tape. You can't see it at all from the outside, obviously. And it does do the trick. Even back when I was heavier into GMRS, that thing could hit just about any repeater in the area, I did, regardless of what side of the tower I'm on. So the only thing is it would cost me several $100s for that little blade to be customized to cover down to like 430 to 470 band. It's basically right now 450 to 470, which is the frequency band we use in racing, so that's what the application's for. But if I can get that company to maybe build me one for a reasonable price and stretch it down to 430, I may just stick with an inside antenna. But I just don't like running my mobile unit on outside of the band. You know, I mean, I do have my node band, which is in the 430s, in my mobile, but I don't do it because the radio's just not capable of, or the antenna's not capable of properly using it, and I don't want to destroy the radio.
That is probably a safe bet. I wouldn't do that either until you get the proper antenna. But yeah, I mean, another thing you could do to experiment too, a lot of this stuff is on Amazon. I mean, you could get, like you were thinking, a mobile mount or a mag mount of some sort, put it in your apartment, and then just get a handful of different antennas and see how they work. I mean, try a Comet GP1. Try a Chinese Yagi for $70 and see how that thing works. Try a true mobile antenna. I mean, there's just a bunch of options that you can try to see how it does before you have to commit to anything. And like you said, you might not even have to put one outside.
When I was married, early 80s, I was in the, you know, I was in the start of GMRS. I've only been in it for like 2 years. And we bought a house out at 23 and 94, same subdivision my girlfriend lives in now. But we were like one of the original people out in the field of nowhere. Now you go through that subdivision, I can't even find my old house. It's there, but I mean, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack compared to what it was 40-some-odd years ago. But I was in GMRS, and I put a beam antenna in my spare bedroom, and the house had a slight enough angle to point towards down 9 Mile and Jefferson, the Shore Club Tower, which is a 28-story tall building. It's about the size of the PNC building. We had a tower up there. And that beam just hit it perfectly, and I had a mobile unit that was a 35-watt radio. So I knew how to improvise back then and made that work. So GMRS, ham, it's all the same. It's all LMR analog. So, yeah, like I said, I got some ideas on a cocktail napkin with a Sharpie and a little list of ideas. And the ground plane thing that we have, or the idea I'm coming with, can mount to a PVC pipe. And it's, I think it's 8 inches square, 8x8, and it's got a NMO mount hole in it, and you could put a nice mobile antenna on there, anything from quarter wave to something with some dB gain, if you want an omnidirectional signal. I can tuck that into the corner of my balcony. Nobody will even know it's there.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what you come up with. I'm kind of going down that path with my mobile setup that I'm on right now, so I'm in my portable setup. The antenna I have works good, and I might not do anything once I get the repeater situated at my house, but I've never been super impressed with what I have. It's just a little 16-inch mobile antenna, so it's basically an HT antenna on the roof. It serves a purpose, but if I could get something that just had a little bit more gain out of it, like you said, I was pretty bacon frying in town, and I get pretty bad north of town, and the receive's been really bad too, so, you know, I'm limited with what I can do though. I mean, I can put a huge antenna on a mag mount, but I like the fact that I can grab this bag and that antenna on the mag mount, and it fits inside of another backpack that I don't want to make it bigger than I have to, but I think I'm due for a little bit more gain.
Yeah, I'm watching the traffic report, see if there's anything interfering your way. I don't see anything right now, so you're good to go. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to send you a picture of that, mobile mount on a ground plane thing. It's like I said, you just mount it to a pole of some kind, like a PVC pipe or something, or a mast. And it's a nice little gadget, and we'll go up from there.
That's the fun of radio. You got to figure stuff out all the time.
Well, I think you and I and others don't really have to figure it out anymore when we have a young genius by the name of Wyatt out there who is definitely making a name for himself on amateur radio. Now, that young man's a genius. I mean, he's impressive.
I've talked to him once, and I've heard a couple conversations, and yeah, he knows what he's doing, and he's very young, so I'm curious to see what he's going to come up with for his setups.
Sean posted something on Discord yesterday about him, and the young man's got a Discord channel already. It's kind of fresh. But he's in the video, and he's young, but he's younger than the whole thing about him is he just flat out impresses me. The way he talks, the way he conducts himself, his mannerism. I mean, this guy's, he's going to, I just have a funny feeling he's going to go places. And his parents are going to be very well surprised. Kind of like how my oldest daughter became a pediatric thoracic surgeon, so. You know, I kind of see that in him, what little bit I've been around him on the radio and on YouTube.
Yeah, he carries himself very well in the air. He articulates very well, and he's got, procedurally just probably better etiquette than anyone I talk to, aside from, a handful, myself included. So I don't know where he learned it, if he watched a bunch of YouTube. I'm sure he's told people, or I can bug him next time I hear him on the air and just tell him, give me the story. How'd you get here? Because that's what I'm curious. How do you get a 10-year-old or 11-year-old to be interested in radio? I mean, my kids love radio too, but they love the little bluey FRS radios. They don't get the concept of what it's actually for.
I was 14 when I got my first El Cheapo Lloyd's radio brand CB radio, and it was like in a lunchbox, and it talked probably about a mile at the most from my parents' house in my bedroom, and I thought I was the cat's pajamas, man. Hey, I'm talking a mile on this thing, and there were CBers out there, I lived right there at the area of 696 and 994 right off the interchange, and I was getting traffic. Well, 696 wasn't built back then, but they started, laying out the property for it. And I remember the stuff I used to hear, but I mean, on a, half-watt radio, mast in the box, it was like a lunchbox with an antenna on it and a microphone. And I was talking that little bit of a distance, and this guy is, 50 years or so beyond me, and he's making me look bad. I mean, at that age, I never thought, he'd be where I was back then, where I am now. I mean, he's a tech, for crying out loud. And he'll probably have his general before I get mine at the end of the year.
I think the only thing that's going to slow him down is the money, because he's too young. He's going to get general, unless his parents are awesome, which I'm sure they are. But I was talking to, who was I talking to the other day? It might have been you. But you're just not getting into HF for under $500-$600. But I'm sure, as a community, there's plenty of gear that could be lent to him.
Yeah, on the FBI Discord channel, there's been talk about, donating everything from donating to, getting him a setup after he gets his general, or somebody who's got a radio that they're willing to donate or sell at a too cheap price to get him started. But another thing is, in one of his videos on YouTube, he's already practicing Morse code, and he knows more about Morse code than I do, in the sense of, I'm still trying to get the phonetic alphabet right. This kid's, you know, doing the dot dash thing pretty doggone good. I mean, again, not to be repetitive, but he is impressive for sure, definitely so. And I enjoy listening to him. A few times I've talked to him and introduced myself to him, but yeah, he's definitely going places for sure.
Yeah, he's a cool kid. I'm going to have to talk to him a little bit more and get some more background on him, but it seems like Warren is not linked, so I might have to clear out here. I'm at 26 Mile Road, and the only repeaters I can get into right now are Romeo and Ricky.
Yeah, that's why I questioned this morning when I tried to reach out to Anthony. I knew something yesterday wasn't right, or the day before. I don't know. I've lost track of days this week with all the other stuff I'm doing. And, it seems like the if you look at the monitor hub thing, the bottom block does not light up, and TJ's repeater's not coming up either. So something is either amiss or not connected properly, but... other than that, though, I mean, you're out of your bad zone, and I'm still hearing you just fine after you came out of it, so I don't know why you need to switch, but for the moment, you're doing just fine.
Well, I'm on borrowed time because the further south I get, the rougher risk I'm going to get, so I don't know if you can, but keep me on Warren, I'm sure the other podcast.
I spoke too soon, and now you're starting to crackle. either way, you're still coming through. I can still understand you. I mean, the only time I ever say anything about crackling or bacon fry or any other form of static is when you're just flat out unreadable. I've got pretty good ears if I've got music playing in the background, another radio channel playing in the background, and talking to you, something I was practiced all my life. My parents could never understand how I can listen to a police scanner, a CB radio, and rock music in my bedroom and do all three at the same time. You just learn to listen for the right things, I guess.
I'm going to make it out here. I'm going to switch over to Warren because I'm probably just going to be my last on Richmond from the USY. I don't know if you can copy this or not. ATDS.
You are going to QSY over to Warren because you know you're getting bad, so... All right, we'll be listening for you. I'm not moving. W8RCY. I'm on the couch anyways. I'm not moving. Coffee, or actually Starbucks, couch, T-shirt, basketball shorts. Yeah, I'm comfy.
How late can you be?
W8MU.
KC8KJO.
Oh, W8FU.
Are you on the road?
Well, I had a job right down in the south end. And I'm meeting a crew, a Motorola crew, right near the house here. So I'm behind my normal schedule. Normally I, you know, have to make the half-hour trek up to the Klam and then be there by 7:30. In this case, I'm just pulling in here now. Got to be there around 8. They said they'd be here from 8 to 8:30. And I just got to be here to meet them, so... My schedule's just a little off, and I'm kind of commuting.
I didn't get the email on that, and I'm confused. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Sean. W8RCY.
Well, technically, you're working, so you started at whatever time you met up. That's how I see it. Well, that's how my union works.
Morning, Donald. Yeah, I as well. I just, I got a little bouncing around to do. This is stuff that I had another crew doing yesterday at a different location, but it's basically just babysitting, and I have work down here. So I decided, you know what, I can free up people that are useful, and I can do the babysitting.
Good morning to you both, yeah.
But me and Dakota this morning, there where you need
Anthony was on, but I guess he got caught up with phone calls, so I tried to respond to him.
Good
with a morning traffic report, and kind of missed out on him. And if I'm echoing, I'm sorry, but I'm too close to the other radio in the living room, and I'm hearing a little bit of an echo, so I apologize for that. Tom?
Oh, I doubled the list yet, Don, on that one. I think Sean got it. Good to be the escort and let the other guys take care of the more pressing issues.
Yeah, Donald, I missed the regular morning drive, but good to hear the others are out there, albeit busy. And yeah, exactly, Tom. That's the thought here. So, as a matter of fact, remember the library we met at down here? It's right there, so, you know, that's not far from my house. But anyhow, other than that, looks like our little dance with 40s is over. I saw the forecast for today, and they're only predicting a high of 29, but I'm looking at my thermometer here. It says 34 already, and I thought I heard 29 for a high today. So, cats and dogs. Living together, it'll be anarchy.
You are correct. It was even warmer this morning when I was up and out. At 5 this morning, I went out to get my Starbucks order, and I was out there in T-shirt and long pants, and it was comfortable. No breeze, no nothing, and wasn't so bad at all. But, it's going to be a couple of days of this, and then it's going to go back up into the 40s. And maybe by the end of next week, we could see that 50 number or pretty doggone close to it. So it's just a couple of days of a lull, and then it's going to get right back up above the 40s. Tom?
Well, I will not hold my breath. And it says 28 up here in Richmond. So it must be warming down there.
Yeah, I usually ask the Alexa what the weather is before I leave the bedroom. You know, decide if it's a T-shirt and a long sleeve shirt, or a polo or whatever. I just kind of try to, and this morning I heard it say a high of 29, and I went, okay, long sleeve shirt and with a T-shirt underneath. Now I'm looking here, it's already 34, so what gives? All righty, I see my destination, and I got to park, in the structure, and then I got to walk over, so I'm going to do that now, make sure that I'm in place for when our guests arrive. Catch everybody a little later. W8FU, I think that'll.
Okie dokie then. You have a good day, and make the best of it, and don't work too hard. You know, like you say, you got the babysitting job, so your talents will not be wasted for sure. Tom, you have a great day yourself. I did not hear anything about your routine for the day, your road trips and everything like that. But while you're on the road, just be safe. The roads should be dry. No sign of any snow. All the snow is north of the Mason-Dixon line out there. Highway 20 is what I call it. So have a great day. And we'll be here monitoring throughout the day like always. Doing what I do, and that's about it. W8RCY. Tom, after yours.
Have a good one to both of you. Yeah, short travel today. Got to reinstall some conduit and some back boxes and pull some cable at this machine shop that a semi decided to shred my equipment. So that's the adventure for today. Y'all have a good one. 73 for now, and as usual, you know I'll be out and about, or oot in a boot, as the Canadians say. 73, KJO.
W-A-D-D.
Good morning.
What's up?
Oh, just sitting outside the doc's office, about to go in a couple minutes. Got an 8:30 for follow-up, so I continue to receive my medications.
Did I hear somebody mention drugs? Who's got drugs and not sharing?
I gotta go see the doc. I'll be back out in a bit. KJO.
W-A-R-C-Y. We're sandbagging on the couch.
This is KF8 FJH testing.
KF8 FJH, this is N8WRO Richmond. How you doing, Ben?
Doing good today. How are you, sir?
I can't complain. Weather's getting a little warmer-ish, I guess. I take it you must be on a break at school.
Not quite. I am in a classroom. Class hasn't started yet, so if the bell will ring here in a couple minutes, I just want to test my radio and show my friends here, but... Yeah, she's actually right next to me. She's listening to me as I speak into my radio right now. But anyways, how do I sound getting into the repeater?
Copy that, Ben. You're in the Warren repeater. Solid. Good copy. No issues with that. And just a reminder, this is Tim Tango India Mike up in Richmond, part of the ARPSC group. But you have a good day, good test, and I'll listen out for your final. N-A-W-R-O, after you, sir, unless you have anything else.
All right, well, yeah, just testing it, seeing how it was working. I appreciate you getting back to me. Class is about to start here in about a minute, so I will say 73 for now, and we'll probably talk again later. N-A-W-R-O, this is KF8-FJH. I will be clear.
73, Ben. N-A-W-R-O, clear as well.
Thank you.
KFAS.
W-H-B-D-E, Mobile, West Bloomfield. Whiskey 8, Bravo Papa Alpha, Mobile, Monitor.
W8BPA from W8EAT. Vladdy, are you still out there?
W8PIP, this is W8BPA. It was quite unexpected. Did I get your call sign right? Back to you.
Whiskey 8, Echo, Alpha, Papa, EAT. I used to talk to you on GMRS. Glad you got your license, and I see you got a vanity call sign as well.
Echo Alpha Papa. W-A-T Echo Alpha Papa. Yep, I got my general license last year. Yep. And, well, my name is Vladimir. You probably know that. What's your name, sir? Whiskey 8, Echo Alpha, Papa. I'm sorry, I'm driving. And this is unexpected situation. Wow. Back to you, sir. Back to you.
Yeah, okay. First name is Eric, E-R-I-C. My vanity call sign is my initials. I've got that vanity call sign maybe 3 years ago, maybe something like time flies during COVID. So yeah, probably 2022 or something like that. 2023, I got this vanity call, but yeah. So where are you right now? Driving. I am at home in Shelby Township.
Roger, Eric. Thank you. Well, I am crossing Walnut Lake Road in Bloomfield. And I'm moving away from West Bloomfield, where this repeater is. I'm going through the West Bloomfield, which is not excellent, actually. I can tell it by the noise.
Another repeater that's linked to the Warren repeater in that area, but I can guess. I will go to PLW, catch you there, W-A-V-A-P.
Nagoya, Antana, 771G.
WDAKLL-KFA-DIC.
W8 Echo Alpha Papa. W8 Bravo Papa Alpha Coin. W8 BP8 Bravo Papa Alpha. W8 Bravo Papa Alpha mobile monitoring.
Now he's sounding good. KF8 DIC.
Jack, what a nice surprise. You tried Rock City. We know you, we know you. W8BPA. I'm far away from that Warren repeater. That's why I'm calling. Okay, thank you very much, Jack. Enjoy the day, and thank you for coming back to me. W8BPA will be monitoring.
All right, no problem anytime. No problem at all. I'm monitoring too. KF8 DIC.
KF8 DIC, W8BPA. Are you in Rochester Hills now? The bus station?
Yes, I'm on 32UV. DM.
32UV. I wish I could understand what it means. Okay, I guess it's the radio. Is it Bofang Radio, KFADRC, W8BPA?
Yes, it's the radio. You're right about that. All right, Gladimore. Good talking to you, and take care. KFADRC.
73, Jack. KFADRC, W8BPA. Standing by and monitoring the repeaters.
N-A-W-R-O, good afternoon, Tom. You getting close to being off?
No, just been 4.5 hours on one account. Now I'm crashing at like 8 miles.
Copy that. You're a little crunchy on that last, but I caught it. Turned the ASP on. I see you're on the Warren. And I know that's the only choice, so go ahead, try again.
Yeah, I'm on the Warren, sorry. I'm over here at the final telegraph.
Okay, that's a little better there, perfectly readable. Yeah, so you, I think I heard you saying more local today, but a long time on one site, eh?
Well, that's because I sent my truck decided to rip the conduit and the box, place boxes and the wiring down and rip it all up. So we had to reinstall everything, remount everything on the concrete wall, run new cable, and rewire everything. And then I had one little glitch that's just been bothering me for about an hour. Figure that one out.
NAWRO. So you guys, in some instances, do like, I don't know, serious electrician work for a little bit there. Now, on the conduit, are you using a conduit mender and the metal stuff, or using the gray plastic stuff for exterior?
Oh, no, this is low voltage, 3/4 inch pipe. And already pre-bent. We just kind of sets it back to fit the new white boxes. So it's all low voltage, you know, 24 volts, 12 volts. We don't do anything high voltage. No way, that doesn't look good. Yeah.
All right, now I understand. But you're still looking for a durable install. I think you said something about it might have been a machine shop, so you don't want them to knock it around or break it up again, right?
Well, a semi-truck bagged and scraped against the wall. When he scraped against the wall, he snagged my all my boxes that were up there, you know, three, four squares, and probably about 30 feet worth of conduit. Bent the boxes up, ripped and shredded all the wires, so I had to redo them all.
Semi versus your installation there, semi is going to win, unfortunately. Although you could say job security for you guys.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Go ahead, Sean.
Hello, Tom. Tom, where you at? You're a little prickly there today.
I am at 8 Mile and Telegraph, coming off the Warren Center.
So a little stretch there, but I don't know, Sean, the Yaesu's have that filter on it, the ESP. It's really nice for times like this.
You know, I've heard about that. I'll have to, mine doesn't have it. That's the newest Yaesu's that have that, right? I'll have to get a demo of that.
Yeah, that's a nice feature, that ESP does really well. I just turned mine on and now I got clean as a whistle. I don't hear that much again.
Still a little crunchy there, Tom, but readable. And, Sean, yeah, the normal one was SDX, whatever that is. Like, the Go kits that Mike made have the SDX ability. You can get either one still to this day. But I think it's like about $75 addition if you want the ASP. John was going to get the Yaesu, the 150, and I'm not sure if he's decided to, you know, pony up for the ASP or not.
Well, I'll want to see it in action, but I take your guys' word for it. What do they hit you for that? You know, what's the difference between the ASP one versus the regular, or is it even a thing? Or did the ASP just come out and circumvent the other one, and you know, it's just some discounts on the old stock?
I don't know. This is the 310 DRASP. So far, I'm pretty happy with it.
So they have it available on at least two of their models. The one Tom has, but the one I got in the Go kits is the FTM. I think it's the one Dakota had too. FTM 150, and you can get it either way. You can get it with just the SDX standard version, and I'm on DX Engineering right now. They want the 370. For the version with the RSP on it, I don't know how much more that is. I think it's about $75 more, maybe. So you could get it below $200 if you didn't want that.
All right. Well, that might be a deciding factor for some, but let's have to see how it works. So, yeah, very good. I've got, I think I've said many times, I've got the 400, and which was kind of the first of the radios that. That basic form factor look kind of a feel. And, you know, then they went to the 200, and the 300, and the 500. So I've got a 2, a 4, and a 5. Not the newest 5. I know they got the new version of the 5. I've got the older version of the 5. Or they got a 510, I think it is. That's it. So... I should sell them all and buy one radio to rule them all. Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
All right, so how do I sound on this one? This is the 4550 with that transmitter. All the,
NAWRO, I'm sorry to say, Tom, I think you sound a bit worse on that one. I did make you out, but still not up to Victor Delta standards. And speaking of the radio that does it all, I think Wally might have a slightly used radio for you there, Sean.
Oh, what radio does he have that does it all, except for his new one?
Go ahead, Tom. No, I was just toying with Wally, trying to get him to come out of the woodwork. You have to pry that out of his fingers, right? He's not going to let that one go. He had fun last night, though, with it.
I was on Fusion. Go ahead, Sean, and when it comes back around to me.
Fusion? You got another conversation going, or just a faux pas? But, he's been plugging away on it. I heard you last night. Chatting it up on P25, trying to get it all working there. So, I know when I first heard it, the first time I heard it, I thought it sounded very impressive. Last night there was something just a little off to me. You know, again, I'm being nitpicky because it's new and he's working on it, setting it up and all that, and I'm sure, you know, there's room to get it improved, you know, and all that stuff. So, but definitely being nitpicky.
K-E-8-R-U-H. And there's Anthony. And yes, Sean, it was a faux pas. I hit the Fusion side instead of the B side, which is analog. And I was talking on Fusion to myself. Go ahead, Anthony. Take it, and then throw it over to Ken.
Did Wally finally get the radio that he's been waiting months, maybe years for? Over to you, Tim.
Yes, he did, and he is having fun with it. They're playing around with it there, even doing a simplex DMR. It worked the one time. It didn't work last night, so, and he was having some antenna issues at his base, too. And then Sean was commenting the P25 just wasn't up to normal standards. But he sent me some screenshots of it, you know, different color screens. There's all kinds of things you can do with it. Sharp-looking radio, I'll tell you that much. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, hello, Anthony. I don't know that I got the pictures. He did describe it to me and said it's a good-looking radio. So, we confirmed it on P25, we've confirmed it on DMR, we've confirmed it on analog, and so we know it'll do them all. So it really, from this point on, it's got to be just getting it configured right and whatnot. So yes, there is one in the wild. W8FQ, Tom?
Yeah, I'm going to have to stumble my way to his office and check it out, or at least to his CTH home and see what it looks like. I haven't seen the picture of it yet, but I've been hearing a lot about it.
Man, that thing, it was like a unicorn for a long time, so it's pretty cool he finally got it.
NAWRO, I'm throwing him in Discord now. Go ahead and skip me. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I think he's come to the conclusion that that was more about the dealer than the product. When he got a hold of my guy, the rep here in Michigan, it was fairly quick. I mean, you know, he contacted him, he said, yep, and it moved pretty quickly. I mean, it still took a month, right? But that other one was just like, you know, forever. nothing was happening. And I think that guy, you know, was waiting for certain configurations or something. I don't know what that guy was waiting for, but he had there was something else going on there. There was something with that particular dealer. But our dealer here in Michigan, he just kind of like, yep. And then I also think he expanded, what he wanted in it. He got a little bit more in it than he was originally thinking. That might have made it easier. Might have been one already queued up with that. I don't know. But anyhow, the Michigan dealer here hooked him up. Tom?
Yeah, that sounds like a fun new toy. Out of my range, though. But I think I got to order that since I found it kind of crappy on the Motorola with that SRAM NMO antenna. I think it's time for me to order the 4x2 and be done with it. That is the antenna of choice. I'm running one right now and love it. I would like to most days have something a little bit smaller on my vehicle, but anytime I'm traveling or want to make sure I'm getting into anything, that's my antenna of choice. I love that thing. Over to you, Tim.
2x4, Roger.
Who's that? I didn't catch the voice there. Yeah, I got to upgrade my mobiles as well. I don't know, they're just off-brand. I think I want to go with Diamond or something. I took them down there in the car because I did the car wash yesterday. I got to remember to put them back, like one of those deals. Breaking station. Go ahead, otherwise, Sean.
This is W8EAP. Yeah, the antenna. I have three of them. One here, one up north, and one on my balcony. What the heck was it? Yeah, I got three of them. One on my car, one on my balcony, and a spare one up north. It's a Comet 2x4SR.
Hello, Eric. So, Comet 2x4, is that an NMO, or what kind of connector is on that antenna? Tom?
It's an NMO, so I got the NMO base, but then I wasn't paying attention. It came with a BNC, tried to get a BNC to PL239. Did that, and then Wally ordered that 2x4 Kmart special. Looks like a Larson. And so I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. It's a decent price, so I put that on there, and so far I'm not pleased with it. So got the NMO base. Now I just got to get a real antenna. Who's over there next? Anthony?
Yep, K8RUH. Yeah, my 2x4 has a UHF connector, though. And I've went through three or four of those Eric specials, the Bing Foos. Those are good antennas. They're just poorly made, and they break easily. But $15, $17, they're a good antenna.
I think I got it. Hey, Anthony. Yeah, you're talking about that chrome one? Yeah, you should mention, I went through three of them, and they last about two, I don't know, 3 months, and this salt gets them, and a couple of them, my fault, I busted them off, but yeah, I went through three of them. They work good, though. When they work great, but yeah, they're just not built that strong. They don't have any flex to them.
NAWRO, I'm thinking about going with the Diamond 200 for the house this year when it warms up. I got the little tiny X30, the short one. It works fine, but I think I'm going to throw that in the attic. Or like maybe a Skywarn antenna when it gets nasty out, and up at the very top, get a nice Diamond X200 and see how that works. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
two antennas at least. I was actually looking. I want to put a third one up, even a fourth. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I was thinking about getting a pipe, you know, putting a side bracket on the house, on the one side of the house, and put one over on the other side of the house, and then having a pipe run all the way across the peak of the roof, and then I could clamp antennas to it. Have a porcupine house. Yeah, no, I won't do that. But I thought about it. Where am I going to put more antennas, man? I got two up in the air now. I got a tri-bander 6.2 and 4.32, and then I got a tri-bander 2, 4.40, and 12.96. So that's what I got now. And I suspect I've got some issues with them, but got to wait for the weather to break and all that good stuff. Probably a time to redo everything. And this 2x4 comma, I'm going to have to take a look at that. I might order one, just give it a try. I'm big into the Larson NMO270s. I must have four of them. So, my only complaint with them is I get the black Teflon coated ones, and that black Teflon coating comes off, and then they look a little, you can't really tell, you know, but if you're inclined to be bothered by that, you'll be bothered. If it goes to Tom.
Yeah, I got a, the one that I'm talking on right now with the Fusion is a Diamond MR77, and it does pretty good. Like I said, I just tried that Kmart special, and I was like, I'm still cracking up on some of those repeaters, so I'm just going to get, like I said, the 2x4. I bet unless you got a spare Larson you want to off and throw my way, and I'll show you some of those green square pieces of paper for it.
Hey, Tom, when you get a chance, send me the link on Discord to the NMO mount to BNC that you're using. I'd be interested in picking one of those up with the BNC connector, because then I could run it straight to HTs and have a mag mount antenna on the roof.
JCHL. Yeah, I can do that. I got it off of Amazon. I'm going to say it's an NMO mag. Mag's probably about 4 inches wide or round, or however you want to say it. It's a pretty fair size ground magnet. And then, of course, the radio connection is BNC. Now, and it's a tight BNC, too, because I put it onto a DL-239 adapter. And, man, that thing is, you can't get a hair in between those two connectors. Over to Tim, and then you guys can pass me up.
Yeah, the thing with the connect systems is they do an end connector by default. So I was thinking of, like, if you would call it a home run all the way from the roof all the way down to without using an adapter. But then I guess you kind of have the DMARC spot right there where the ground is for the grounding rod. So I don't know. I would have to get another one of those with just end connectors on it if I wanted to go in all the way. Not sure if it's worth it, but over to Eric, NAWRO. Go ahead, Eric.
WADAP, yeah. I was going to mention, too, my 2x4s are also UHF mount. And there's also, I have a couple other ones. I think they're NR770. They're about the same length. One has a plastic coil in the middle. One has a open air coil, chrome, and you can pull up on the bottom and it folds over. They're about an inch longer, or I think an inch shorter than the 2x4. They don't cover FRS or any of the MERS band, but for just general 2 meter 440 only, that antenna works about the same. Probably has a little bit less wind load on the highway. I'm very apprehensive to leave it on my car on the highway, so I just use it's a homemade antenna made out of a 771 rubber duck screwed into the base, screwed into a magnet. But anyhow, I forgot what I was going to say other than that, but I guess I'll just stand by and wait for my next turn. Maybe I'll remember what the heck I was going to actually say.
of a memory. So, yeah, Tom, if I, I'll look and see if I can round up all four of mine. If I, I can shoot one your way, and but I will see what I got. I'm pretty sure I got four. One of them is the commercial version. It's a, they make a commercial version of it, and I think I got three of the open air coil ham versions. Like I say, none of them are pretty. You know, they all have the Teflon coming off, but you notice it, you know it, but nobody else sees it, I guess. But I like them. I think they work pretty good, although I'd like to try one of those 270s one of these days just to see, because I've always really liked Diamond and Comet antennas. Really like Diamonds, but Comets are, you know, they're always, whatever Comet made, Diamond made, Comet made a copy. You know, just like it. They just had their own name for it. And it's funny. As though they were the same company, they just marketed it differently. I don't know if it's still like that, but that's the way it was when they first, you know, like in the 90s. I remember that was always, you know, there was always a Comet equivalent to whatever Diamond there was. But I mean equivalent. They were identical, just had a different name. Anywho, let's see here. Goes to Tom.
Yeah, the MR-77 is, I can't remember now if it's a Comet or a Diamond. I really can't. I paid like $40 for it, you know, a couple of years ago. And it's nice. And of course, yeah, the finish is falling off because of all the destructive driving that I do. So, color doesn't matter. As long as it works, it's all that matters to me. It's good enough for government work, it's good enough for me. Over to Anthony. KCKKO.
You know, you guys are talking about roof antennas, and I have a, I think it's a Comet GP6 on my roof, and I got to put a switcher in line so that I could run two different radios and have the lead come down. Or I guess I could just be a little bit crazy and throw a second antenna up, but just like Sean said, if one leads to two, two leads to three, and before I know it, the roof will be a porcupine. Over to you, Eric, I believe. Oh, over to Tim. Sorry, Tim.
No worries. Anthony, that's what I got, a three-way switcher in the house, one antenna going out the Diamond, and it's like analog now, because I'm on the Yaesu, then DMR for the Kinect systems, and then I got the Wally's Loner Motorola P25. So it's all sharing one antenna. Probably not the best setup, but the connections are tight. SWR is good, so I'm okay with it. And then when it gets to you, Sean, Wally mentioned the Tate has that, I don't know, what's it called, a mini UHF connector like the Motorola uses, and there's some debate about that being strong enough or something, I don't know. But over to Eric for now.
Maybe we lost Eric. Well, we'll catch him next go around. The mini UHF is a standard, Motorola standard now for everything, even on 800. Although on some of the newer, like the 8500, they're using this, I don't even know the name of it, it's a compression, or not a compression, it has kind of a lock fit. But they've been using the mini UHFs for a long time now. And my only complaint with those is they will come loose. And it doesn't matter if I'm thousands of them, and they're easy to work with. And, do they have more loss, you know, than an end connector? I'm sure they do, but is it worth worrying about? You know, I think not. And they're easy to work with. They're easy to replace if you have a bad one. They're not very hard to mess. They're hard to mess up. And you can generally pull them, you know, under carpeting and, you know, in a car and stuff like that, where without having to, you know, cut the connector off. Aside from the fact that, you know, they just have a propensity to loosen themselves up, We'll get cars all the time. They'll come rolling in and they're saying, yeah, we're getting out of ranges and all that stuff. And the guy says, don't even pull it in. Just pop the trunk. Pop the trunk, go back there. Yep. Screw it in. Say, you're all set. And, you know, they made a little wrench thingy, a little tool thingy to help you snug them up real good. But they still come loose. It's just the nature of the beast. I got no complaints. Tom, or, well, Eric, if you're back, otherwise Tom.
I guess he's not back yet, or he fell asleep, one of the two. Yeah, I mean, I like it. It does bother me. If I put the UHF on there, it's kind of loose, and I just grabbed a pair of small channel locks, got in there, and just tightened it up, got that tight, and then put on the 239. And that's what the Motorola's running right now, is a UHF, the PL239 to BNC, you know, for the Kmart special on my roof. And I do have a little bit of a porch sign going. I've got four of them.
Gentlemen, this will be my last, and I'll listen out. I'm pulling down the street right now. So it was great talking to everybody this afternoon, and we'll catch up with some of you tomorrow morning. KE8RUH, have a good evening.
Real quick, Anthony, before you jump.
Go ahead.
Did you ever get the coach?
No, but I am going to be over there on Friday. I have a work reason to get into that general area, so I should be good.
All right, well, if we make a lunch thing of it, let me know. I'll try to make it. I've got I've got an 11 o'clock, and I may have to be down here for it, so that may not work out either. All right, I'll let you go. Sorry, didn't mean, I just wanted to catch you before you jumped.
No problem, and I got to catch up with you off the air. I got a couple questions for you, so we'll talk soon. KE8RUH.
I have a good one, Anthony. I'm going to jump too. John made some improvements to the website and the HR site, so I got to keep on working here. NAWRO, I'll be clear but listening. Oh, go ahead, Sean.
Okay, well, you know, when Anthony says he's home, it's usually a coin toss over whether I'm going to say I'm home before him or him before me. We both hit the road about the same time. We both hit home about the same time. And just about the time we're clearing out, it's just about when Dakota pops in. So, yeah, it's crazy. But I am in sight of my house at this point. All that's left to do is collect the mail and then back in the drive. So, shall talk to you gentlemen later. Been fun as always, and I might miss the morning drive tomorrow based on my schedule. We'll see. W8FU. Tom?
Anthony 73, John 73, Tim 73, and what is it? Anthony, if you're still ringing around out there, I can always drop off this one antenna and you can mess around with it and see how it goes.
W-A-T-T-T.
Oh, we got another stranger in the house. How's it going, Don?
Going good. I started messing around with another HT I forgot about that apparently has some sort of satellite functionality to it. But, man, just playing with it after I updated it, I'm not figuring it out. But I will.
Gotcha. Well, if you pop on MeshTastic, the note that you gave me to play with this is sitting on the table next to the window. Hopefully my whip antenna comes soon for it. So you can see it. There's two Joe on it, so can't miss me. And I got to jump into this hospital that I just got to. We'll see what's going on there.
All right, I'll look for it. I'm going to go ahead and pair it to my phone now and look, but I think we're still going to need a link in between. I wish Riley would get one up at his in-laws. But anyway, give me a holler when, well, just let me know when you get back. And if I'm on here, I will talk to you.
W8 Suzuki.
Alright, chat later, 73, TC, KGO.
Go fix the hospital.
Plus, not that type of repair, it's a camera issue in a hospital that you definitely want cameras operational in.
I do understand. I won't say where you're at or ask where you're at, but I get it. So, I heard everybody in there just thought I'd say hi. We are in a tile dilemma. So, go fix your hospital. We'll chat after you're done in your camera. Later, W80.
Copy that. See you back in a bit. 73-250-KO.
That ain't good, yeah.
KCHKJL.
KC8KJL, KF8EFB.
KF8EFB, KC8KJL, how is it this evening?
Good, how you doing, Tom? I'm sitting up here on my couch watching Family Feud.
I'm sitting in my van driving down Gratiot.
Hey, as the most hurt person on FBI, or so I've heard. I had a question because I'm more of a listener, as some people know, but I've been on radio silence up here in Holly because it looks like FBI is disconnected from CMN, so I'm on a node at the moment, but just curious if you could update me because I've been in the dark for a few days and don't know what's going on.
I don't know if there's a network glitch or a microwave glitch or something like that, and they're just doing some local troubleshooting, so they disconnected. That's about as much as I know. I mean, I noticed that, the Central Michigan network has been kind of silent since the disconnect between the FBI repeaters and the Central Michigan repeaters. So, in all honesty, your guess is as good as mine. I have not heard anything. I just know that it's been quiet. I noticed it like a day or so ago. I'm like, they must be working on something.
Gotcha. Sounds good. And, yeah, I'm not complaining by any means because I get it. It takes time to fix these things. And we're just all blessed that we have the network to use. So I get that problems occur, and I'm just trying to work through it here.
And that's why I have an all-star node as well. Of course, you know, when I'm at home, I can hit the Richmond receive site, which sends links to Warren and links to Romeo. So at least I get out that way and talk to all of my comrades.
Yeah, you have the ultimate job for radio. Other than being in radio, you get to drive around and track of what everyone else is doing, and that's definitely fun if you're in this hobby. I'm just trying to get my office set up here and get more active, but it's been a struggle with work and whatnot, but we're getting there. I just passed the general, like a week ago, and I've got a radio, but I got to get HF antenna up, hopefully this weekend if the weather's nice enough.
Yeah, let's see how that goes. It's supposed to be warm, I guess. But I'll be right back. Phone call. It's the message. Got to answer that one. KCKGO.
KF80FB standing by.
KF80DIC, clear.
Okay, I'm back. KCHKGO, KGO.
Welcome back.
I had a phone call and got that done, and now I'm driving through my old neighborhood where I used to grow up, where I grew up at.
I went through the old neighborhood where I grew up about, you know, through high school. I went through there with my current wife about 6 months ago, and yeah, that's always good to reminisce.
Yeah, I mean, I go by here maybe once a year, check it all out. So I'm buzzing through it. It's like, oh, geez, these roads are terrible.
It's always depressing when you go through an old area you used to live in and you see that they kind of let it go south, but on the flip side, I've seen other areas where I used to live where it's greatly improved, so I guess it goes both ways.
Yeah, just some of these houses, you definitely can see that it's they got some age on it. I mean, these houses were built back in the 50s, and I moved out of here in the mid-80s.
It seems like all the newer stuff built 90s or later is generally being maintained where they're in HOAs. And as much as I hate HOAs, those neighborhoods seem to stay a little more current. But, yeah, I can't move out of an HOA fast enough, even though mine's not that bad.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it totally looks like, where's my old house, you know? Trying to figure out where it's at. Kind of throws you off because it's been changed so much.
I understand that. I grew up in the Bel Air, Mantalona area, and I remember my grandparents, you know, they lived down in Novi area, worked there, but my grandfather was ski patrol at Shush Mountain for, I don't know, 60 years or something like that, a long time. My uncle, who's his son, you know, my dad's brother, he just retired from ski patrol after 50 seasons, and that was his son. But they had a place at Mount Mantalona, just the trailer they go up to on the weekends, and I went and checked that out a couple of years ago, and it's all like drug dens now. It's just crazy. And it used to be, you know, there were trailers, but they were nice.
Yeah, I grew up here in Clinton Township, that's 16 and Gratiot, and it's just, oh, you could see the age and the wear and the tear on all the houses. And the little market that was here on the corner is completely gone. It's just all built up. Even the field where we used to play baseball at is gone.
It is definitely crazy to look back at the areas you grew up in and see how it changed. But my wife is just pulling in the driveway, and I got to help her unload all these groceries. So I'm going to say 7-3 for now, but it was good talking to you, Tom, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. I'm on my way home. I got to go make dinner myself. Catch you later. 73 KCO. Mobile and, of course, monitoring as usual. Ooh, I hear you out there, but you're really weak.
Well, hi, I'll pick you up here. I only got about a mile or so until I get home and do the same thing. I don't know what I'm going to do. The neighbors are sleeping in the report there. I don't know what I'm going to do here. Either one sounds too terribly appetizing. I think Hunter's is going so far, Tom.
Oh, it's done. Is this Dave? W8RIT? I see you sound really staticky. I'm not sure which tower you're on.
You are correct. It is Dave, W-A-R-I-T, on the Warren repeater, FBI Warren.
Okay, there you sound a little bit better. You must be getting close to it.
my problem is I'm operating extra class portable. About a mile 94, and I was listening to you talk about, you know, neighborhoods running down, and yeah, I was doing a bit of some talking about that with some relatives the past week. Yeah, well, I grew up a bit southeast till there, Tom. I used to live over by, well, I don't know where Whittier is at, but I don't know where Hayes and Kelly come together in Detroit. I lived there in the year 94, generally speaking. Or by other drive and all that. Yeah, I go down, like, Hayes Road from 8 miles south to, like, 7 miles. I look down the side streets, and boy, there are a tremendous amount of homes that have been burned down, and now the lots are vacant. They, at one point in time, was a fairly decent neighborhood. It was basically the neighborhood where all the Detroit police and firefighters live. I had quite a few friends whose fathers were DPD police officers, and there would be times you'd be out riding your bike in a neighborhood and they'd pull up on you and check on you. What are you guys doing over here? You got smoking cigarettes, are you? You got money on you? You didn't feel like me, did you?
That's funny. The thing is when I lived in Clinton Township, my next-door neighbor was actually a deputy sheriff for Macomb. And then his son followed in his footsteps. And I think his son just retired. He's a couple years older than me. But yeah, boy, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it sure was. I just don't dig through my other photos that I took from my one of my old phones. But I went back by the old house some years or so ago, and yeah, it was quite different. Like being in the neighborhood really too much even during the daytime, to be honest with you. And we were driving past the house, and the driveway had garbage stacked up in the driveway that was just about as high as the second floor window.
I just drove by my old house, and oh, has it changed. The whole property changed, the whole front of the house, and the garage and everything. But you gotta get your mobile in your van there, dude.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. You know what? No excuses, because it's gonna be the first thing I do when I get home. You know, it's not really that hard, though, really, as far as it goes, probably. I just have to get to the, well, it's probably gonna be easier just putting a positive battery cable sitting underneath my driver's seat here. I just gotta see about figuring out how to move this plastic cover out of the way so I can get to the terminal.
Ah, it snaps right off, and then you put a ring connector on it, tap it down there, and then ground to the cage, because the cage is already grounded to the body of the van. So that's how I did it, coming right off of that 200 amp fuse there off the battery.
The last thing I did with my old van is I think I just tapped it right into the negative battery terminal right there, so pretty convenient. But yeah, I'm going to see about doing that, and that is going to be the first thing I do when I get into the house. I'm going to go grab the radio, and I think I do need to put one more ring terminal on the other end of the wire for the power. I got one, but I think working out of the old van, just ended up cutting one.
Yeah, when I get home, I'll be on my All-Star node. You know, but it'll be another half hour of driving. So, but yeah, definitely get it in there. Maybe I'll hear you on the node when I get up to the house.
Yeah, I gotta do it. I'm just gonna give excuses otherwise. I don't know what excuses are like. So, yeah, I'm gonna do that. It shouldn't be that bad. I'm going to have to maybe see about a couple nuts and bolts to mount the bracket to the console here in the center. Oh, hey, I know what I want to ask, Tom. Try to get a model number. Do you have, by any chance, a Samsung UV5? I think the model number is H. I got a RM. So I'm just wondering if you have maybe an H model.
No, I got a UV5RM, I think, or RX, something like that. And then just just picked up a UV-22, I got a DM-32, a DM-1701, and I got a UV-5R somewhere. Somewhere in here, and I got a mini valve thing, a UV-5X or something like that, does 220. We're all floating around here in the van somewhere.
Okay, well, let me see, before my mother had passed away, I picked up a couple drop-in chargers and some of the larger capacity battery for the bail thing. Picked up from Amazon, but unfortunately, the UV5, and I got one, I think it's for RH model or something, because it doesn't fit the radio, the battery doesn't fit the radio, nor does the drop-in charger, so I'm just wondering if you wanted to take a look at it, maybe for one of the others, if you wanted to pick one up. I got two of them, actually, two batteries and two drop-in chargers. If not, I'm just going to have to bust the bullet and suck it up, because I don't think I can return it now.
Yeah, let me take a look at the house and see what I got. Said you got the chargers and everything. What do you need, programming cables, or... Those are easy to obtain. I got one of those.
Oh, no, I got a programming cable. It's just the charger and the battery are not compatible with the model that I have for the UV5RM. Just a little bit slipper.
I'll take a picture of it and send it to me. I'll see what I got.
Yeah, I can do that. Either that or just bring them down in. That way you can physically see. Because it's kind of hard to tell the difference between the battery size of what I have currently and then this one. But yeah, I'm going to see about doing that. Get that in. As soon as I get home, I've only got a couple more blocks here to go. So that way I can deal with having a better signal here. Rather than do the extra class portable here.
Yeah, get your mobile back in your van. I mean, I got my base all set up. Oh, there's my phone call I was expecting. I'll be back, 73 KC, KGO.
Have a good day, Tom. WADRID 73.
That was short and quick. Although I didn't need any yogurt yet. KC, KGO.
This is KFAFQN listening. KABB as in Kilo 8, Bravo, Bravo. You're very staticky. I cut you in and out. But this is Kilo Foxtrot 8, frequently questioned newbie, Wyatt here in Emory City.
Hello, Wyatt. Yep, you got the call sign right, K-A-B-B. Name here is Don, and I just turned the power up a little bit in the car, getting into the Warren repeater, but I'm not super close to Warren. I'm in the Southfield or Bloomfield Hills or someplace. On Telegraph Road. So, anyhow, how are things up in Imlay City? I've heard you on the repeater many times. So congratulations on the new license and welcome aboard.
Um, Wait, this is just a question. Is your, do you have a YouTube channel by chance called Captain Don, or am I thinking of a different Don?
Ah, Captain Don. No, that's not me. There's a few Dons out here. Captain Don, WHCPT, does have a YouTube channel and with lots of really, really great stuff. Captain Don is really good at that kind of stuff. I do not have a YouTube channel. Actually, I kind of think I might have a business YouTube channel, but it has like three videos of nothing of consequence. So, nope, that's not me. That's a different Don.
Roger, yeah, I was just wondering. Only like two Dons on the radio before. But it was nice meeting you. I don't think we've ever talked before. But is Captain Don like in here in Michigan, or is he in a different state?
Yes, likewise. It's good meeting. Like I said, I've heard you on. I listen a lot, but I don't transmit a ton. I'm on HF a lot more than VHF or UHF, but I do listen quite a bit. So Captain Don is local. He's in Michigan. He's probably about halfway between where you are and where I am. He's in north of Detroit, you know, kind of area. But yeah, he's not too far from us.
So Roger, I was just wondering, I kind of figured he was from, he was in Michigan, but again, pleasure meeting you. I'm going to have to say 73 right now. I'm in a car with my mom, driving over to, go worm our horse, so, maybe,
Okay, well, you kind of dropped out at the very end. I heard that you were in the car with mom, heading to do something with the horse, so... Have fun, and hope everything goes well with the horse. And we'll catch on here again sometime. Again, 73, a nice meeting. KF8FQN from K8BB.
Good evening. What's got you out and about at this hour?
W8FU, K8BB. I am heading home. Well, I'm heading in the direction of home from downtown Detroit. There are actually the company convention today and tomorrow. Tomorrow's a much longer day, but today was, I had tentative plans to get together down there for dinner with a few colleagues, and all evaporated, as sometimes happens in this business. So, heading home, and I think I'm going to pick up the spouse and go get some dinner. I'm going to head back down there tomorrow morning for the rest of the conference. So, continuing education and awards and networking and hobnobbing and all of that stuff.
What fun. Very good. All right. I'm just kicked back here. I just finished. I've been doing it. You ever do a refrigerator cleansing? What I mean by that is, of course, we clean our refrigerator, but what's for dinner tonight? I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to find all the things that all the little leftovers I should eat that are still good. So I had some fried rice. What else did I have? There was a little bit of lunch meat. I had one half of a turkey sandwich, some fried rice, and... not sure. I think that's about it so far. I'm just trying to look at all the stuff in there that it's either going to go bad or I'm going to eat it tonight.
Ah, yes. I've heard that referred to as refrigerator buffet. You got to go in and eat all the stuff that's going to be done soon. Yeah, I only did that once in a while. Actually, I've been doing that recently. My dinner last night. I went out to dinner on Monday night. Monday night and Tuesday night, Stephen has class. I'm kind of on my own, and of course I'm too lazy to cook. So Monday night I went out and had a nice dinner, but Tuesday night I'm like, well, I don't want to do that twice in a row. So I had three small things from the fridge, and that was a good dinner. So, but I'm going to pick him up, I think, and we're going to go someplace. I don't know where yet.
Sounds like a plan. Well, I mean, it's all stuff that was good, so much so that I decided to keep it. It wasn't like, you know, like a good leftover, you know. I've been on that Ozempic, and it's been really kind of curtailing my appetite. Good. You know, hopefully I'll see some, as the weather breaks here, I'll see some positive repercussions of that. But the result is, you know, I'm eating half of my sandwich, half of my, you know, lunch or something like that. And so being able to use them up while they're still good is always a good thing. I tend to think like that now. What would reheat well? Like, one thing I can't stand are salads. Like, I can't do lettuce. If I could do half the lettuce at lunch and then finish it at dinner, that'd be fine. But generally, I'm not in the mood to have that again at dinner. But if it goes the next day, forget it. I can't touch it. Something about lettuce after about 6-8 hours, and it stinks because that Nikki D's here has just the absolute best chicken Greek salad I have ever had in my life, but it's a meal for three. So how do I deal with it?
Yeah, that is a problem. I like a good salad, and I also do not like a good salad the next day. I'm right with you. On rare occasions, if I go to Pronto by my office, they've got a salad I really like. And every once in a while, I'll bring it back, and then I'll have the rest of it for dinner. But like you, I'm usually not in the mood. I'm like, oh, a salad only, you know, anyway. So, you know, I put it in the fridge, and then the next day, I just take it out of the fridge and toss it in the garbage, which is dumb. Like, I paid for that thing, but, yeah, salad doesn't keep. And a good salad is usually too much, so here's a strange... strange that we live in a society that we have surplus on.
First world problems, right? But, yeah, I mean, the best way to do it would be, you know, just bring two people and split it. Because it would be two hearty salads, tons of chicken. But I have, in the past, I've had them, because if I'm doing a carryout, or if I know in advance, I'll say, give me the chicken on the side, please, and then what I'll do is I'll generally, you know, I can pick out the rest, or even if it's just, even if I take, you know, a huge amount of the chicken home and find another way to eat that, it's fantastic. So I don't mind so much, you know, losing half the, you know, the lettuce and the vegetables and all that. It's obviously not going to be another, you know, chicken Greek salad, but the chicken is, you know, is that's the real thing that I can't stand missing out on. So if I get that on the side and I take half the chicken home, then all is well. But anyhow, today's that day where I eat up the leftover chicken and the leftover this and that. I think I feel pretty good, so I don't think I have to go any more grazing. And I think I'm down to lunch meats that might be, you know, approaching a week. So, you know, I'm going to have to get those eat up quick.
Yeah, getting the meat on the side is a good idea. I want to jump out. I'm almost at home, and I need to make a phone call to find out if I'm going inside or if I'm just going to drive with a hot corn. I will catch you in a bit. K-8-B.
All righty. Enjoy your dinner. And we'll talk to you later. W-8-F-U.
W8FU, KE4ZYQ.
Good evening, Joe. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, thank you. I just got done eating dessert from the eating dinner earlier, and you're not alone about the salad thing and having it, you know, leftovers or trying to eat it and a part of it another time. So you're not alone in that matter. I was copying everything and listening, and, yeah, the only way you can get around any of that if you're going to eat it, part of it another day, is to get some sort of a food sealer thing that is a hard shaped thing that you can take the air out of it and suck the air out, put the stuff in there, you know, and keep it for one day maybe, if it's all separate. But when things are mixed together and you wait till the next day it's been in the fridge, I hear you. I feel it. I know what you're talking about. Back to you.
Yeah, I can do, you know, like, you know, onion and the feta and the, you know, and green pepper and you know, the olives and most all of it will be fine the next day. It's just the lettuce. I just, something about lettuce, you know, over a certain amount. If I could just get the lettuce, you know, separated, but, you know, that's hard to do. You know, can you give me a salad where I put it together myself? So, but I wonder if they would ever do that. That'd be great because, yeah, because everything else it would travel pretty well and keep at least to the next day. But, yeah, that darn, you know, and then, of course, you got to do the dressing on the side. But, you know, if you can eat it up in the evening, you know, then you're okay. But, you know, keep the dressing off. But, yeah, lettuce is just one of the things that has to be fresh and crisp and really, you know, not being soaked by anything, and if it's not, I'm just like, I'm out. It gets kind of a funkiness to it. I'm just not a fan of. What else is new, Joe? I'm just finishing the, as Don said, a new term to me. I'm doing the refrigerator buffet thing. I think I'm done. It's a little after 7, and, you know, really I shouldn't eat much after 7. I usually put 8 o'clock as a cutoff. Don't eat anything till 8. So if I'm going to sneak something in, I got to do it in the next, 45 minutes here.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, nothing majorly new. It's always nice being single. I mean, it's always nice to want to got my grocery shopping done. I actually got choices between what food to eat, not just eat what's left over. But I don't mean in the fridge, just whatever you got that's left to eat. The choices get very down to narrow different things. Let me ask you a serious question, nothing major, but I'm serious about this. When you buy, or if you buy, a carton of eggs, obviously you might have more than just you there, do you go through them within the time, within the, you know, the use-by date type thing, or I mean, I buy a carton of eggs. I don't eat the same thing every morning for a week, always, but I always wonder about, you know, how long you keep eggs and how long you should keep eggs, and then I could look it up, but what do you find when you buy a carton of eggs? Do you go through them within a week and they're gone?
You know, we go in spurts. We'll eat a lot of eggs, and then we won't have any for a long time, at least not, you know, we won't make them here. So if I see some that are starting to, I'll eat them past the date. I'm not worried about letting those go a little over, not a lot. But I've never had a problem with eggs, you know, as long as they're close. And but you know, as I start to notice they're, you know, getting to that point, you know, or they're getting near, I'll okay, it looks like you know, I'm going to do a big old thing of scrambled eggs, you know, and we'll pick at it, so find something to do with it. So I'll do something with it. In fact, I got some in there now. I got to go take a look at the date now that you remind me, see if they're on the agenda for a refrigerator buffet.
Took the words out of my mouth because I was thinking of that just before you said it with the eggs. I don't know, are you one of these people that ever like or ever had what they call it, egg salad sandwich, where you mix a little salad dressing or mayonnaise with it and salt, pepper it, and put it on a piece of bread? Toasted bread's good for egg salad sandwich. Have you ever done that?
Oh, heck yeah, man. We keep hard-boiled eggs in the fridge on the ready for when you get a hankering for a egg salad sandwich. Heck yeah.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. I've been known to do that for lunch. But there's a Arabic store, or Lebanese, whatever, on, Van Dyke, called Ike's. They got some great food. If you ever want to try it, or if you never had it, they got some great food. Stuffed kusa, stuffed squash, It just depends on what your taste is, but they got some great food back there.
Oh, yeah. Ike's is a legend. They used to send for carryout warm police. They'd send out somebody, a cruiser, to pick up carryout for all of dispatch frequently from that place. And that was when it was in the strip mall just north of 17, kind of set back. And I love that place. It was a little family diner with, you know, great Lebanese. And then they moved to south of 17 in that big fancy building, and they upped the, you know, they upped their game big time. It's no longer, you know, I wouldn't call it a family restaurant at all. I don't like the new as well as the old. I liked it when it was a little diner set back in the strip mall, but the couple of few times I've been there since they moved, it's still excellent. And you know what else is real good there? They do a banquet, a very reasonable banquet for smaller events like our dart. Our dart team league would do our dart banquet there, and they do a pretty reasonable and excellent banquet. You know, for you know, not a terribly large group. I mean, pretty large. You know, so probably 50 to 100. And so yeah, I guess that's large. But you know, they would sneak us in some. You know, really, you had the buffet foods. You know, your typical stuff that you get in a buffet, but they'd run us in some hummus and tabbouleh and bread and stuff and garlic and whatnot as well, so which is kind of cool. You could probably get them to do a Lebanese buffet as well, but I don't know. I didn't set the thing up, but yes, very familiar with Ike's. Excellent place, excellent restaurant. I liked it when it was a little greasy spoon up north of 17, but it's still damn good.
That KE4Z like you. Well, you read my mind, because that particular restaurant on Van Dyke there, where they moved to, my uncle, about 4 years ago, when he would go through chemotherapy for cancer, he had his last day of treatment, you know, that particular day or weekend, and we planned a surprise gathering at the restaurant, and we were in the big banquet room, open, and we had a bunch of relatives and people there, and he walks in, didn't know what was set up for him. And we had all the food you're talking about, and I got to tell you, I could die, and I'm going to go sometime this week if I can. I died for that garlic dip with the pita bread. You could snack on that during a ball game or something. That garlic dip with the pita bread, oh my gosh. Anybody don't like that, don't have taste buds. Over to you.
Oh, yeah, no, you know, a staple. So I'm just trying to think where you're at, if there's any place closer that's really good. I do like Lamia's. They're over on Gratiot, north of Mount Clemens, before you get to 59, a little place. They're pretty good. That's really no closer to you. I've not been anywhere else right up around where you're at. There's a couple places down here by me that are outstanding. Used to be one called the Kebab House at 12 Mile Van Dyke, and that place is excellent. But then another one opened up. Used to be a meat market, and they kind of partitioned it. And now, you know, two-thirds of it is still the meat market, but a third of it they converted into what they call Boss Mixed Grill, and it's I mean, they got some tables you can sit at, but it's really more carry-out business. I don't often see people sitting in there. And they're outstanding, too. So, but you know what? There's a lot of good Lebanese in particular around here. So, you know, I'm sure they're not the only ones. But I've eaten at quite a few, and those, you know, that especially at 112 Van Dyke has always stood out as exceptional. But I hear there's another good one coming, downtown Mount Clemens. But, again, I don't think that's any closer for you.
KE4ZYQ, well, if you hear about it and the name, if there's a new one coming, let me know. Because I live in Clinton Township right next to Henry Ford. I'm far from the Henry Ford Hospital there, 19 in Garfield. But you're familiar with the one near Lakeside Mall called Lesage. You know that one, right?
Never been. I've seen it, but I've never been. I never went to that one. I never went to La Chiche when they were around. Really any of the big, you know, the big real famous ones. The ones I go to are little one-offs, you know, and so I'm not sure. That might be a one-off. I don't know.
but I've seen them, never been.
I don't want to influence your decision or like or dislike opinion eventually if you go to that one. But most people that went to Lesage and then went to Ike's likes Ike's better. They make better food, consistency, taste, everything. And Lesage is not as good, generally speaking. But, hey, if you ever go there, obviously make your own opinion. Everybody has different taste buds, whatever, but everybody I've ever talked to, they said, I like Ike's better.
That wouldn't surprise me. Ike's is really good. So, you know, there is that. But, you know, again, there's a lot of good ones. But, you know, I've got my favorites. You know what? Right by you, 19 in Garfield, there is a strip mall where the Olga's is. And then in there, there's Joe's Kebab House, which I've not been to yet, but there's a Bangkok cuisine Thai. There's an Italian. There's a ramen place. There's a Creole place. There's this burger place. I mean, there's so much there. It's incredible. Hold on. I got my dog. I'm trying to keep him from beating up my cat. I got to deal with this. I'll listen, but I might not be able to come back. W8FU.
Yep, you're right about that strip mall area. There is a lot of options there, especially when the weather's conducive to getting out and doing things instead of sub-zero weather. Come spring and summer and fall and all that, those could be frequented once in a while. But, yep, I hear you. But, yeah, if you ever go to Lesage and you've been to Ike's, I would be surprised if you thought the one was better than Ike's. But most people say it's okay. You know, it's not bad, but it's just not the same quality and quantity or whatever. Just a little bit different. KU4ZYQ.
All right, Joe. Yeah, Joe, I gotta jump out of here now. We got a really old cat. We're not sure if she's having problems or not, and she's upstairs now. And my wife's trying to see if she'll eat or drink, and my dog is trying to interfere. So I gotta tend to this. Love talking about it. What's better than talking about food? Anyhow, I'll be back. W8FU.
Yep, no trouble. Understandable. Good talking. KE4ZYQ, clear for now.